fresh off the, well, okay, fresh might be a stretch, but we're off the road from the crop tour and back in the studio, and it's good to be back in the broadcast bunker for a conversation about President Trump, crop tour, RFS, and trade. You know, it's time to get back into the real world.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, it's our Friday free-for-all with panelists Sean Haney and Pam Johnson. Lots to talk about today, Chip. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, sort of fresh from the highways and byways of Crop Tour 2019, your beloved host, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, thank you so much, buddy. Appreciate it. It's good to be back in the familiar confines here.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it was a late night or a early morning or a combination of both. But we put the hours in last night on this crop tour. Mm-hmm. And the crop tour data and issues outside of the tour area, we're still putting the absolute finishing touches on the Pro Farmer crop estimates. Those are going to be released this afternoon at 1:30 Central Time, and we're looking forward to that. That'll be a great conversation with Brian Grady and Jeff Wilson this afternoon.
You betcha.
Figuring out exactly what they think of this crop.
That's one not to miss. And when you talk about you're not sure if it was a late night or an early morning, that almost sounds like a Kenny Rogers song. Like you're living the dream out there.
Yeah, right.
LTD, are you too tired to sleep?
LTD,
are you too tired to sleep?
I might be. You've had that before, haven't you?
I'm afraid I have, yes.
And the night got deathly quiet.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, great trip this week. Super bunch of scouts that we were with out there on the road, we'll have a little bit of a conversation about it and talk about some final numbers from Crop Tour that we're looking at. All right.
Okay. Very good.
What's
very
in
good.
The news?
Well, China has announced details regarding retaliation to the Trump administration's threatened round of tariffs due to go in effect September 1st. China's Ministry of Finance reports it will raise soybean import tariffs by 5% while slapping U.S. beef and pork imports with 10% levies. These additional tariffs will go into effect on September 1st, then Chip, on December 15. U.S. Okay. wheat, corn and sorghum will garner an added 10% tariff. The move clearly signals China intends to keep the pressure on farmers as a means to eroding Trump's base of support. Now, prior to the announcement this morning, ironically, White House Economic Director Larry Kudlow maintained an optimistic tone regarding negotiations with China. Sources say talks between working-level negotiators have been taking place with hopes of higher-level talks to result. It is unclear at this point how China's retaliation will impact future talks. There was a lot of speculation, Chip, about how China was going to retaliate here, and now it looks like it's kind of a tit for tat, almost exactly, with these proposed tariffs from the Trump administration.
Oh, okay, Davis, look at your notes there again, and tell me again what it was on pork and beef.
Let's see, these 5% while slapping U.S. beef and pork imports 10%. So does that mean pork is now up to 72%?
It would put it.
That's the way I read it.
Some percent.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
The pork one really surprised me.
Yes, it does, because of ASF in China and a dwindling pork supply. At least we assume, and the numbers indicate that they are working with a dwindling pork supply there. But they've filled the freezer so full, at least for a short period of time, that maybe they feel confident with the supplies that they've got. Crazy.
And there's also this. USDA Undersecretary Ted McKinney told Reuters China has fallen well short on the amount of U.S. soybean purchases it once pledged, saying, quote, very publicly in the Oval Office, they made commitments for 20 million metric tons of purchases and only about 9 or 10 million tons have been shipped and accepted. Now, China's Commerce Ministry said on August 5th that Chinese companies had stopped buying U.S. farm products and that it could impose additional tariffs on them, which now we see. A move that targets rural states that supported Trump in the 2016 election. This as China's pork imports chip in July doubled from July 2018 in wake of the African swine fever outbreak. And it almost sounds like they're laying, like you said, laying away supplies ahead of rough waters.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. This is we'll talk with Sean and Pam, and you forgot to mention the third panelist on the show today. I don't know if you realize that or not, but
is he,
Davis Michelson, the news anchor at AgriTalk, will be our third panelist. So I'm looking forward to get some thoughts from Sean and Pam and you on what this all might mean.
All right. All right. Well, meanwhile, speaking of Canada, the Canadian consulate in Hong Kong has suspended visits by consulate employees to mainland China as the UK seeks contact with its Hong Kong consulate employee, who is now feared detained in mainland China by authorities targeting Hong Kong protest sympathizers. Are we going with protest, rioters, demonstrators?
Use whichever word you want.
I'm just sticking with protesters. It's just easier. Well, USDA and EPA continue to clash over small refiner exemptions. USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue said in a confab yesterday with Andrew Wheeler that he recommended 7 or 8 of the 31 small refiner exemptions issued for the 2018 compliance year be eliminated. EPA has raised questions regarding the legality of such a move, but Perdue said in a statement, quote, "By taking decisive action now, I believe we can regain support among farmers and the biofuel industry." I don't know, 7 or 8 of 31, even if he can get those done, regain support?
Did he say specifically 7 or 8 of the 31 that were issued? Because don't forget, there were 39 requests. If he stopped 8 of them, now you're at 31, which is the number that was announced.
Well, and Chip, maybe you didn't see, there were another 2 requests for waivers that snuck in under the radar, too, just recently here. So they're floating around out there, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, finally, a federal court has sent the Waters of the U.S. rule back to the EPA, calling it unlawful under the Clean Water Act because of its, quote, "vast expansion of jurisdiction over waters and land traditionally within the state's regulatory authority." A court for the Southern District of Georgia ruled EPA overstepped the Clean Water Act and the Administrative Procedure Act, upholding a preliminary injunction filed by 10 U.S. states. That injunction will prevent implementation of WOTUS in the 10 states involved in a lawsuit as EPA puts the finishing touches on its repeal and replacement plan for the Waters of the U.S. rule. How's that for a pocket full of news, buddy?
That's awesome. Good, good stuff there. Hey,
so much.
Hey, I want to set the stage a little bit too, because we are going to talk more about these SREs and the RFS. And I know that there are some people out there that think, you know what, farmers are just whining about this. Get on, go do business. You know, the RFS is a law. It's the rules.
Yep.
When you've got rules and laws, you can make business plans based on those. That's how you build ethanol plants. Mm-hmm. That's how you encourage the investment. When you change the rules and the laws after all of that investment, you start putting people out of business. We're going to talk about that coming up next on the Free For All. Pam, Sean, Davis, and me, Chip Flory.
Quantix is a powerfully simple drone that helps you scout all of your acreage from the sky. With a swipe of a button, its automated flight covers 400 acres in 45 minutes, delivering real-time, quick-look maps, which can be viewed immediately after landing. For deeper analysis, AVDSS Analytics transforms the data into actionable insights. It doesn't get any easier than Quantix and AVDSS. Visit farmdronedemo.com to learn more.
What do you call someone who studies the weather? A climatologist. What do you call someone who evaluates investments? A financial analyst. A person who studies DNA? A geneticist. A person who owns their own business? An entrepreneur. Who researches markets? An economist. And who handles employees? An HR manager. Someone who keeps devices up to date? A software technician. Someone who does business internationally, a global trader. Someone who transfers assets from one generation to the next, an estate planner. And someone who does all these things, you call them a farmer. Because being a farmer is the one job that requires dozens of other jobs. And at Pioneer, we're proud that our job is to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
In a year like this, you need to know where your operation stands when it comes to actual yield. As the combines roll, decide with confidence on the right strategy. Sell, store, well, true real-time data can answer that question based on your farm, not some national average. Get all the real-time knowledge you need and $500 off your Farm Mobile data subscription. Use promo code CROPTOUR19 at farmmobile.com/CROPTOUR19. See Farm Mobile at your local stop on the 2019 Midwest Crop Tour. Terms and conditions apply.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com. Your next piece of equipment is on MachineryPete.com. Search equipment from dealerships across the country to find what you're looking for. Only on MachineryPete.com.
Got no reason now for going home.
Welcome back. Davis, I had a chance to talk with Machinery Pete last night. Greg Peterson was there in Rochester at the final
meeting.
Yeah, final meeting of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour, which is... Of which, Pioneer is the premier sponsor. And speaking of Pioneer, let's go ahead and make time for this industry spotlight. Joining us now is Josh Schaffner. Josh is a Pioneer agronomist up there in Rochester, Minnesota. Josh, hey, thanks for joining us today. Everything okay?
Yeah, everything's good. Thanks for having me on.
You bet, you bet. That crop in southern Minnesota, what'd you make of it?
Well, certainly, you know, we had some great discussions, and I think everything you guys talked about on stage last night was right on. And certainly, you know, we talked a little bit last week, Chip, you know, as we get to Southeast around Rochester, we got in the field more timely, and you know, our planting dates on a lot of the crop is good. Our maturity relative to your crop tour, we're in great shape. But certainly, it's just a time thing now. We look at the forecast, it's cooling off here. We know we need... 30 good days, even on the early planted stuff. We maybe need 35, 40 on the later planted stuff. And it's just a matter of now, can we get it ripe? I like the kernel counts in a lot of our fields. I like the ear counts, but it's just a matter of, can we get it finished? And that's going to be the big story between now and October 1.
Right. And a little bit more concerned about the maturity over in the western part of the state, isn't there, John?
Oh, for sure. As you get west of I-35 and continue to go west, the planting challenges there were real this spring. They got a lot of corn that, it was too cold out there. They got some corn in early, then they had a lot of issues. They had to replant from heavy rains. They also had a later planting window that crop is just behind. As you move west across Minnesota into some of the flatter country, they rely on a lot of tile to get rid of water, and they've just had way too much water start to finish, and they're going to need a lot of time to get that late planted crop to maturity.
Exactly. One last real quick question here, Josh. Disease issues in soybeans. Feels like they're just starting to show up.
Yeah, white mold is starting to show up, and I took off this morning to kind of head out to see some customers, and we're kind of over here in the bluffs east of Rochester here, and it was just one of those mornings. I'm staring at all the fog, all the humidity, cool temperatures, and certainly I just don't like to see that for soybeans from a white mold standpoint. I also don't like to see it from corn from a northern corn leaf blight standpoint.
Right.
Not to say that it's everywhere, but white mold is starting to show. You're starting to even see it from the road, and it makes me a little bit nervous as we roll through the rest of August here. How much are we going to start to see here driving around and walking these fields down the home stretch?
Gotcha, Josh. Hey, thank you so much for Two Pioneer for being the premier sponsor again of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. You have a great time. We'll talk to you again soon, Josh.
Thanks, Chip. Take care.
You bet. That is Josh Schaffner, Pioneer agronomist there in Rochester, Minnesota. Davis, they were such a good partner on Crop Tour because of the information that guys like Josh bring to the evening meetings along the way. It's a really good, really good partnership that we've got going with Pioneer on that.
Yep. Yeah, and that's been going on for a while too, hasn't it?
A long while, yes. All right, let's get this thing started, shall we? Let's bring in Pam Johnson, Iowa farmer, past president of the National Corn Growers Association. She's on the line with us right now. Pam, let's get this free-for-all going, huh?
That's right. I am ready.
Very good. And Sean Haney. I think Sean Haney might be sitting along the side of the road someplace in Western Canada. Is that right?
I am, Chip. I'm at a truck stop in British Columbia, beautiful British Columbia in the mountains here. So, it's good. There's lots of agriculture in this area. So I'm taking the weekend off.
Very good. Good for you. Good for you. And on the phone, I should mention Davis Michelson, our third participant in the panel here this morning.
Standing by.
And on the phone, we've got John. John is calling in, I believe, from Kansas. He called in last week. Let's see what's on John's mind this week. John, welcome back to AgriTalk.
Hey, Chip, enjoy your show and your comments. Sounds like you had a really good tour. I did. You've been a pretty interesting week this week. We've been called everything from socialists for our support of the RFS. I know the Iowa delegation and Senator Grassley made some disparaging remarks about how we're being treated by the EPA and this administration. But, you know, kind of like being in a pickup forging through a mud hole this spring, we're probably too far out there to stop, but we're not to the other side yet. So I guess we're just going to have to keep going and slug our way through this. I mean, I know we've got the RFS reset coming up here in a couple years.
Yep.
But you said it. I mean, you nailed it. The RFS was put in place to build the industry. And people like Jeff Broin and Poet, who have spent billions of dollars with all the farmers investing in it, and now, you know, we're just going to shut this thing down? It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. What methodology is EPA using to deny these waivers or to grant these waivers? It's all cloak and dagger behind closed doors at the Department of EPA. They're not telling us why they're doing it, how they're doing it, who they're doing it for. There's just no transparency there. And so mad as heck, and we're being called whiny babies, but how do you expect us to respond when we're losing our export markets to China? China has gone down to South America and building infrastructure and, by all appearances, making plans to live life without us. So what do you expect us to do?
And good stuff, John. John, let's turn that conversation and go straight to Pam with it, because Pam, what is happening now? And President Trump, I will say this, President Trump is hearing the message. There are some indications that he is going to revisit this issue, but what can he do now? What can he do?
Well, a couple of comments, I guess, Chip, is, you know, the news, it seems like it just keeps getting worse. And I think when we saw that last week when we talked, there were 10 ethanol plants shuttered. Now there are 15 and others idling back. And to me, that is just like the canary in the coal mine. So I don't think we're whining. I think, you know, Brian Jennings at the ACE conference said it very well. Take your anger and do something positive. It is not whining to hold President Trump and this EPA accountable for what they've been doing. And if the voices keep continuing to tell the story about how this is wrong, that's when President Trump listens. So don't back down. Take your anger and do something constructive about it. And there are several places where you can do that.
Pam, you've been involved in these calls to action many times in the past. What's the best way? What is the best way to get in contact with the right people?
Well, we can put it out. I put out a couple tweets this morning, and I can hashtag AgriTalk to get a couple sites out. Where I did, okay. did it this morning was through Growth Energy's call to action and through Iowa Corn and National Corn's call to action, both. An email to the president and an email to EPA saying this has to stop, reallocate those waivers. And I am really thankful for my commodity group, which is, and a lot of them, I shouldn't just say corn, are right. pushing back on this and giving farmers an outlet where they can use their anger for constructive purposes and actually get the message to, okay, we're not just angry, but here's a plan, and here's how you can fix it, starting right. out with reallocate those 4 billion-plus exactly. gallons of ethanol.
Exactly.
Yeah,
see,
and I've got yeah, go on.
Go ahead.
Sean.
I was going to say, you know, remember back to the USMCA when supposedly Purdue saved the withdrawal out of NAFTA because he broke out the maps, and he showed the president where everybody was and how this could impact him? I think we need Purdue to break out the maps again because it confounds me how – this is not understood, that how this is impacting rural America. One of the questions I have, though, is when you're lobbying, a lot of times you kind of have one ask. Was there a misstep made by the ethanol lobby going after E15 before this was settled? And did the NCGA make a mistake by going after MFP 2.0 payments instead of focusing on this? This just seems like the big core issue where if you don't have this part figured out on these SREs, all the other stuff doesn't matter. So I just wonder that.
Right.
Yeah, I understand your question. So how I would respond to that is, you know, we just assumed and figured that when the RFS is there and it's law and a small refinery has to be a small refinery to get a waiver, that we didn't have to make this a priority. But right. now it is the number one priority. You know, remember when I said we'd die on the sword for this? We will die yep. on the sword for this one.
Yep, that's right. Okay, it isn't free-for-all. We're talking about the SREs, the RFS, and the biofuels. John, thank you so much for kicking off that part of the conversation. We're going to continue with it. There's a couple more things that I want to hit on that when we come back with the free-for-all right here on AgriTalk.
They call it the World's Fair of Agriculture, and for good reason. It's all there for the folks who farm, the Farm Progress Show. Make your plans to be in Decatur, Illinois for the 66th Annual Farm Progress Show, August 27th through the 29th. Get more information at farmprogressshow.com. See the latest in farming up close, talk to exhibitors and factory techs, and watch the equipment work in the field. We'll look for you at the Farm Progress Show, August 27th through the 29th at Decatur, Illinois.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts and gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now, Joe Baklovic, Standard Grain. Joe, when we get these comments from China that there's going to be additional retaliatory moves against U.S. tariffs, surprise, surprise, not. It looks like we're seeing a bit of a reaction in the markets to that.
Well, it's not good in that the trade war is going in the wrong direction. But it must also be said that China's buying zero beans. It's not going to get worse than that. They're not buying really much of anything. I mean, they bought some pork, and I see they want to raise tariffs on it, which is interesting. I don't know that this has a material effect other than just a sentiment-type impact.
Gotcha. gotcha. This corn market, it's just been in a drift mode here for the week, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's really a terrible action. We got just up to those contract lows within a couple of cents in deep corn. Really been a crazy summer when you think about it. I mean, from a contract low in the 360s up to the 470s, right back down to where we started. I don't know what the production is going to be. I think the potential's there, but we've got a ways to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Soybeans, what do you make of the action in that market today? We're about nine cents lower.
I'm actually friendly to bean market. I think the trade war is peak bad. I think that there's a chance that China has to buy some U.S. beans, maybe end of this year, early 2020, ahead of Brazil harvest. I think the yields are not going to be there. So call me a bean bull, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, I will. You're a bean bull. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, Jeff. Bye.
All right. Joe Vaclavic, Standard Grain. We've also got some pressure on live cattle futures this morning. Sharply lower feeder cattle prices and $2-plus losses in lean hogs.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
I'm Andrew McCray, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, farmer-focused podcast. It's all about production agriculture. Farming the Countryside is available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts and is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Boy, look at Pam multitasking. Pam has already sent out the tweet with the link to where you can very easily make your opinion known to President Trump on the on his actions on the RSCs, the small refinery exemptions, and the RFS. Pam Johnson, Iowa farmer, past president of the NCGA, is one of our panelists today, along with Sean Haney. You know, it was interesting what the last conversation there, the guys, there's been lots of analysis done that the small refinery exemptions, the SREs, haven't done much to hurt demand for corn-based ethanol. And it's been a very vocal argument that it hasn't done much. And then one of the people doing some of this analysis changed direction and said, well, but that's E10. If we're talking about E15 mm-hmm. and E85, then we have seen demand destruction by the SREs. Are you kidding me? We're talking about corn-based ethanol here, right, Pam? There's no question that these SREs are limiting the market opportunities and giving the oil companies an opportunity, a way, an open door to shut ethanol out of that market.
Exactly. I mean, I couldn't say it better. Just ask Jeff Breuen. Just ask anyone who's selling, who has been selling corn to an ethanol plant that's now shuttered or cut down production. Usually we've got a string of trucks going by here, and you can drive by the ethanol plant, and there's nobody in line.
Yeah.
And it's very visible. So, of course, there are people that are going to push back, but mm-hmm. it's but it's not the truth. And we've talked ad nauseum on AgriTalk about the importance of ethanol and how it's not just helped, you know, all of the benefits, but it revitalized rural America.
Yeah.
And we expect it to still revitalize rural America, and that's why this is so hard to take when the president
right.
promised as late as June that he loves farmers mm-hmm. and he's going to support ethanol. And, you know, you can be lied to so long before you start doubting and then mm-hmm. looking for another alternative.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Not much of a difference between Wheeler and Pruitt, it seems.
Yeah.
None.
The thing that I don't understand is, and maybe this is a completely side issue here, but where is the environmental community? I mean, if we're talking about these exemptions that have been granted to quote-unquote big oil, that's a word that's been thrown around talking about these small refinery exemptions. Where are these environmental people? They're more concerned with cow farts than they are with trimming big oil's influence over a renewable energy source here. This is what I don't understand. If we could get them on board with this, maybe we could have a little bit more traction.
Yeah.
But as it stands, I mean, they're EPA right here, I've got it in Reuters, balking at reallocating any of the exempted volumes. Chip, if I'm not mistaken, reallocation is part of the original law.
Oh, yes,
right?
It is.
Right?
It is. Absolutely. That's
so what's the balk
destroying
at?
The demand. I have no idea. It certainly appears that a side has been chosen by EPA, and it's not on ethanol side.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
Okay, guys. So, you know, we've talked many times. Where does the buck stop?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not the EPA. I mean, we can be angry at the EPA, of course, but it's not just the EPA.
Right.
Whose EPA is this?
President
Trump. Who was appointed?
Yes.
As the head of EPA that everybody said, oh, this is going to be so much better. We're going to have transparency.
Yep.
This president can change ag policy and trade policy and ethanol policy with a tweet. Has he? No.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all good points. All good points. Okay, let's switch gears a little bit here. Yo, Joe, did you hear him, Davis? He's a bean bull.
He's bullish beans?
Yeah.
I guess, you know, the idea being you can't get worse than zero. Okay,
right.
if we mustn't get more bearish as the market goes down, maybe we're at that point now.
Yeah, right. Thank you. That is exactly right. You can't get more bearish as prices fall. You've got to get less bearish as prices mm-hmm. fall, and maybe mm-hmm. we are. Maybe we're to that point. But he mentioned that the bean crop just doesn't think the yields are there. I don't know exactly where we're going to end up on this bean crop either. But you guys, when we look at the bean production factory that is out there and running across the Midwest, Ohio pod counts in a three. These are all pod counts in a 3x3 foot square percent change from last year. Now, last year was a big year. We know that.
Yes, it was. Yes.
But it doesn't change the fact that this year is not a big year on the pod counts. Ohio down 39%. Indiana down 30%. Illinois down 25% on pod counts. South Dakota down 18.7%. Minnesota off 11.5%, Iowa off 8.4%, Nebraska off 6.9%. Haney, when we see numbers like that coming off of the crop tour and those pod counts out there, you got to wonder if Joe's right. You know, maybe the yield just isn't there on these beans.
Yeah, well, you know, and maybe it's a good thing considering some of the tariffs. It's not good from a farmer's perspective,
right.
revenue-wise, but it does shore up some of the carryout forecast for sure. But you know, Jim was on this like 4 weeks ago. Remember, he was talking about how
I'm talking credit for that.
Jim Wiesmeyer, chief crop scout.
Jim
pointed out that when he was talking to growers, they you know, the corn is one thing. But the biggest concern was what they were seeing out in their soybean fields.
Yep.
So this is falling in line with what Jim was hearing from growers.
Yep.
And Pam, now is the time of the year when if the disease is going to show up, if it's going to start, now is the time when it starts to appear out there. And lo and behold, I'm driving down Highway 63 this morning, and I started to see some of those yellow spots out in the bean fields. It could be that time when SDS does start to show up.
Yeah, we're starting to see a little bit of white mold.
Yeah.
And I saw when the guys went through Floyd and Mitchell County on your crop tour that, you know, the aphid pressure is about threshold. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, the weather needs to cooperate. All the givens we've talked about is we have to have a picture-perfect fall to get this crop harvested mm-hmm. and in the bin.
Right, absolutely. No question about it.
And forecasts say we're not going to get it.
Well, and that's yes. So we got some questions last night in Rochester. You know, before we got together and started working on the Pro Farmer crop estimate. And I want to emphasize that the crop tour is over. Okay, we put out all these sterile numbers that we're going to put out as of last night from crop tour. The number that's coming out this afternoon at 1:30 is the Pro Farmer estimate, okay? It's going to use a lot of the information that we collected this week out on the crop tour, but there are other things that we have to take into consideration, including the maturity of this corn crop. And when you look at that forecast, my goodness gracious, Pam, the cool temperatures, the rain in the forecast that suggests the cloudy conditions, a lack of sunshine, it worries me on if this crop's going to be able to get home or not before the growing season ends.
Well, we trust that it will.
Yeah.
And, you know, the rain has been, like, we are dry here. We got a tenth when other people got 5 inches last week.
Mm. Okay.
And, you know, so it... I guess I can't add anything to your comment.
Yeah.
It's not done yet.
Yeah, it is not done yet. And we look at that forecast, and it's a little concerning. We've got just a little bit of time left in this segment. Let's go ahead and bring in PJ from Illinois. PJ, how you doing today? What's on your mind?
Well, I'll tell you what's on my mind, and it's Sonny Perdue. Sonny Perdue is supposed to be our ear with President Trump. Now, mm-hmm. I've never been a Sonny Perdue fan. And he's turned out to be what I expected of him. That thing that he put out, rescinding 7-8 waivers, that is absolutely inexcusable. This guy, I'm sorry, but let's face the facts here. We've been lied to many, many times. And I told you before, probably a year ago, that I thought the oil industry is out to put the final knife in ethanol, and I still think that's true. But Sonny Perdue, he's no Tom Vilsack. He don't want any action. And to me, he's as worthless as a wet paper bag. This should be a signal to all of us farmers. We need to look in a different direction here. Okay. These guys aren't working for us.
Now, PJ, thanks. Yep. We're coming up to the break here, PJ. But I appreciate your comments. I really do. Farm Journal Pulse poll of farmer sentiment and approval rating on President Trump has been released. It's down to about 70%, off 76% from the poll a month ago.
See the latest tech in agriculture at the Farm Progress Show, the nation's largest outdoor farm show, August 27th, 28th, and 29th in Decatur, Illinois.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th.
This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts and gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
Sweet strawberry icing. You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe.
In a year like this, you need to know where your operation stands when it comes to actual yield. As the combines roll, decide with confidence on the right strategy. Sell, store, well, true real-time data can answer that question based on your farm, not some national average. Get all the real-time knowledge you need and $500 off your farm mobile data subscription. Use promo code CROPTOUR19 at farmmobile.com/CROPTOUR19. See Farm Mobile at your local stop on the 2019 Midwest Crop Tour. Terms and conditions apply.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Last year, John Deere sponsored and hosted a lead event, and one of the topics at that event was how to manage residue in a corn after corn cropping system. In that trial, we compared three different types of stalk rolls: John Deere standard intermeshing roll, a new John Deere stalk roll called Romax, and a competitive roll. We compared each of those stalk roll options in four different tillage systems. The first was a conventional till system using a disc gripper pass like the one behind me, along with a pass of a field cultivator in the spring. We had a vertical tillage system with two passes. Then we had strip till and a no-till system. When we look at the yield results from that study, in the conventional till system, the stalk roll did not have an impact on yield. However, in the no-till system, the stalk rolls had about a 12 bushel yield improvement over the intermeshing and about a 7 bushel improvement over the competitive roll. So one of the factors that contributed to those difference in yields are cumulative emergence. We plotted out the same information of cumulative emergence over date, and we separated out the stalk rolls by conventional tillage system versus the no-till. And all of the cumulative emergence lines for the conventional till system, regardless of the stalk roll, are about the same. When we look at the no-till system, we'll see a difference in the stalk rolls. So the Romax stalk rolls had early emergence and more uniform emergence, similar to what we saw in the conventional till, whereas the competitive roll and the intermeshing roll had both delayed emergence and non-uniform emergence. For those of you who are doing corn on corn in no-till, stop by your local John Deere dealer and check out the advantages Romax stalk rolls have to offer. For John Deere Lead TV, I'm Brad Van Woestijn.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
A lot happening right now, guys. A lot happening. Welcome back to the free-for-all on AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. panelists today, our very own news guy, Davis Michelson, Pam Johnson, Iowa farmer, Sean Haney from Real Agriculture. During Chip, the break there. Yeah, go ahead, Davis.
Can I just hop in 1 second? Beloved listener, we've been talking crop tour, crop tour, crop tour all week, and you're probably wondering, well, where are the results from? Why aren't we? We've got everything that you need this afternoon in this afternoon's AgriTalk.
Right.
Get there or go to tryprofarmer.com. There's still time to squeeze in for that free crop tour pass to profarmer.com or search crop tour on your favorite app store and download the ProFarmer app. There you go.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Okay. During the break, Sean sent me a message and said, hey, you better take a look at what President Trump has tweeted here a little bit ago.
Oh, geez.
So I did. Vast amounts of money. I'm coming in the middle of a string of tweets here. The vast amounts of money made and stolen by China from the United States year after year for decades will and must stop. Our great American companies are hereby ordered to immediately start looking for an alternative to China, including bringing your companies home and making your products in the USA. I will be responding to China's tariffs this afternoon. This is a great opportunity for the United States. Also, I am ordering all carriers, including FedEx, Amazon, UPS, and the Post Office, to search for and refuse all deliveries of fentanyl from China or anywhere else. The relationship is not getting any better, is it?
Shots fired.
Shots fired is right.
Leaves you speechless, right? Leaves you speechless. I mean, ordered.
Yep.
Last I knew, this is America, right? This is a democracy. Mm-hmm. This is a capitalistic country. I'm speechless.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Davis. Go ahead.
Well, I'd seen some stuff about how Vietnam was maybe going to pick up some of the slack for the manufacturing and stuff if companies wanted to move out of China. But the analysis is that they lack the infrastructure, and I think that's going to be the case in a lot of places where if companies are looking to relocate. I mean, we've spent so much time supporting China with our purchases from them that they've had a chance to get this manufacturing infrastructure up and running. In other places, it's been at their expense, in my mind.
Yeah.
So where do we go?
Well, guys, I think the only place you can go is do what you can do where you are. So I just got to tell you, I just got an email from the White House. It says, thank you for contacting the White House. We are carefully reviewing your message. This was pushed back on the RFEs and asking for reallocation. President Donald J. Trump believes the strength of our country lies in the spirit of the American people and their willingness to stay informed and get involved. President Trump appreciates your time to reach out. So, guys, just keep putting the pressure on.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I heard on CNBC this morning an analyst say that the biggest market rally of the year will be when Peter Navarro leaves the administration.
Oh, it could be.
And clearly, Navarro definitely has the ear of the president. I think in all of that noise that the president has tweeted there, and this is his shtick, is talking tough. And we may see something different tomorrow in regards to this. But the reality is that what he says is, you know, is the stop doing business in China. Well, that's not just referring to companies that have manufacturing over there. That's referring to, I take that as farmers. Maybe find other markets than just relying on China, because this, clearly the trade war is not easy to win. We all knew that. And we're settling in for a long-term, very long battle here. And China's not a stable market. They're advantageous. They've got stuff going on where they look at this over the long term. And I think from a North American standpoint, I'm not just talking about Canada or the U.S., like just for both our sakes, we really need to work more together, like we saw Pompeo and Freeland this week talking about the Canadians unlawfully detained and how China needs to be held more accountable for a lot of this stuff. I think that's a very big positive in my mind.
If only there was some sort of market where farmers could market their crops to make fuel. Can you imagine what that would do?
It's amazing.
I mean, come on. We're looking for that market. We want that market. We're begging for that market. Come on. It's up.
Yeah, well, hey, I'll make one.
Look I'll at make the one potential more point for here. Selling. Look at the potential for selling ethanol to China. They're just on the brink. They're just on the brink of needing. They admit they need clean air. Just look at the potential that we have. I want a president that will explore the potential.
G7 is this weekend. I think it's this timing couldn't be more perfect. Is that, you know, countries like Canada saying to the U.S., how's the trade war working out for you? You like doing this alone? Do you like the Lone Ranger strategy? Why not jump back in with Japan and the rest of us into the CPTPP and let's tackle this issue together, which was the original intent. It has a way higher chance of success than what you are doing alone. So I think the G7's timed.
Gotcha. Interesting. Pam, what do you got coming up this week? What you focused on?
Well, starting back in some meetings, going to grassroots policy meeting for Iowa. So people from all over the state, from every county. So I'm really looking forward to taking the pulse on what's going on with other people and figuring out solutions.
Gotcha. What about you, Haney? What's going on?
This week I'm at home. I'm going to be working from a home studio and covering all the things that's going on. No travel in my plans.
Oh, all right. Well, next week I'm going to be down at the Farm Progress Show in Decatur, Illinois.
You better rest up.
Yeah. Well, I've got that scheduled, Pam. I've got it scheduled. I've got like 20 minutes at some point that I can. No, it'll be fine.
Chip, I'm going to throw in. I'm going to keep an eye on these on the Fed report here. There's talk of a rate cut. The president wants a full percentage point. Powell's leaning toward a 0.25%. I talked to Todd Bubba Horowitz about it, and he's all fired up, as you might imagine. Yeah. I'm very interested to see what comes out of that.
Very cool. Thank you, Davis. Thank you, Pam.
Yep.
And thank you, Sean Haney. All right, guys. Hey, thank you so much for listening. And be sure that you come back this afternoon. Join us again at 2:06 Central Time.
Crop tour
is over, but we'll have Brian Grady and Jeff Wilson this afternoon.
I can't wait.
Land, family, good weather. All a farmer needs for the simple life. Just a field, a family, sunshine, and rain. And a drone for digital imaging. And software to run geospatial analysis. And a commercial driver's license for heavy equipment. And a spreadsheet program to help maximize your return on investment. And an understanding of genetics, biology, economics, climatology, banking, global market prices, land lease negotiation, engineering, and HR management. Oh, and estate planning, so you can pass this so-called simple life onto your kids. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.